44. O sons, knowing how to beat the drum. Case. O Shan imparted the some words, saying, cultivating study is called learning. Cutting off study is called nearness. Going beyond these two is to be considered real going beyond. A monk came forward and asked, what is real going beyond? Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Again he asked, what is the real truth? Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Again he asked, mind is Buddha. I am not asking about this. What is not mind and not Buddha? Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Again he asked, when a transcendent man comes, how do you receive him? Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Hoshan was the seventh patriarch from Seigen Yoshi. He died in 960. He was one of the famous Zen master Kyuho Dokken. I think you can see his simple history toward the back of this book, the page 452. You can read it later. Hoshan imparted some words saying, cultivating study is called learning. Originally, it says hearing. But this translator says learning. So cultivating study means usually we learn, we study something step by step, one by one. So we say shu gaku in Japanese. Shu means just like a bird, a baby bird, to try to learn, how to fly in the sky. So every day, every moment, a baby bird has to practice moving his wings always. That is meaning of shu. We say learn in English. Gaku is study. But this translator says cultivating study is called learning. means with your six consciousnesses. Anyway, you can hear Buddha's teaching. And also you can hear what the human world is. Human world is really samsaric world. Nothing but the repetition of life and death. filled with the suffering pain, etc. Well, in Buddhism, suffering means not only the suffering, but also pleasure and pain and neutral feeling, also suffering with the dukkha. So, whatever kind of experience, whatever kind of feeling you have, feeling good, or you don't feel good, or you don't feel anything, just neutral, whatever. Feeling good, feeling not good, or neutral, are anyway called dukkha, means anyway suffering. Because it doesn't last for long. Basically, human life always stands in the stream of impermanence. So if you realize this point, how human world is structured, life is characterized by suffering means how impermanent human life is, not only human beings, but also all sentient beings. So if you really see deeply into and touch the core of the impermanence of the world, that time you can really awaken to the truth. That is a first step to move, to step in the Buddhist world. So we say stream winner, one of the arahat, a saint. So stream winner means you can really tune in to the rhythm of the stream or river, stream of impermanence. You can tune in. That means stream winner. We say stream winner. That is the first step, first stage of the sage. So, through the six consciousnesses, we really see deeply how human life, human world, going, and also we can really see Nirvana means the peace and harmony through the Buddha's teaching. So we really see this point through our six consciousnesses, and then we can hear the teaching, and then we really believe in the Buddha's teaching with your mind. And then next, we want to anyway put it into practice with our body. That is, we really want to get experience Nirvana through the teachings. Through the teaching, through the hearing the teaching, through the believing, through the practicing with your body. That is called cultivating study. So that's why healing. Cultivating study is called healing. Cutting off the study is called nearness. So finally, you can cut off. Cut off means be free from human suffering. Human suffering means you can really tune into the rhythm of a stream of impermanence. Not throw it away. You can really tune in to the rhythm of impermanence. That is called cut off. or we say stream winner. So, if you can really live there, live right in the middle of impermanence, but you are not carried away by impermanence or suffering so much. So this is called cutting off study. It is called nearness. Cutting off study means you can study until there is nothing to study. Nothing to study. That is called mugaku, not study. That is freedom. Freedom. So this is freedom, but it is called nearness. Not exactly perfect freedom. Still pre-cross. Because still we are stuck in the freedom. So real freedom is your body and mind must be free. Just like water in fluidity in your everyday life. That is real freedom. So you cannot pick up the freedom as an idea because your body and mind are nothing but freedom itself. If you pick it up from your body, from your life, and see the freedom, it's already not real freedom. It is concept of freedom. So next, going beyond these two, that's why these two is to be considered real going beyond. It means truth, real freedom. So this is 3 points which people can experience through the Buddha's teaching mentioned by the Sojo, named the priest name of Sojo, who wrote the book Jewel Treasure Treatise. In this book, he mentions there are three types of people: Shugaku, anyway, that is learning, healing, and nearness and truth. The first step we really get into Buddha's teaching, being free from human samsara, that is through our six consciousness, healing. And then we can learn something. And then we, every day, we have to learn and then practice it again and again. That is, finally, you can really tune in to the dial. You can really hit the stream of the spring underground, and then you can get the spring simultaneously through the pipe. So it's coming up. And that is what we just say, nearness. And also, third type of people is a truth. Truth is perfect freedom. So, and also, this book says, just like this, in this case, a cultivating study is called learning. Cutting off study is called nearness. Going beyond this, these two is to be considered as the truth. So, the Hoshan, anyway, it's told this point the three type of people to the assembly, immediately a monk came forward and asked, "What is real going beyond?" Means, so what is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth being free from first type or second type? First type is always using your six consciousnesses, listening to the Buddha's teaching, listening to the sound of the human world. Anyway. And then, second type of people is really be free from this, human samsaric suffering, and also getting acquiring Buddha's teaching anyway. That is called cutting off freedom. So very naturally, you can skip in the freedom. But it is not good enough because you still are stuck in freedom, happiness. You proud of yourself so much at that time. So that's why you have final goal. What Buddhism emphasizes constantly is to be free from, to go beyond first two type of people. Anyway. Well, for instance, whatever you do now in the Buddhist teaching, whatever you do, you have to go through this stage, the process. When I was a monk, my teacher said that you should learn calligraphy. So, because my teacher was pretty good calligrapher, but he didn't say, "I will teach you how to write the calligraphy," but he didn't. So I watched his way of writing carefully every day because he almost wrote the calligraphy every day. So by him, and watched him. Then every day, I took a brush and practiced. And with my eyes, watching his calligraphy, and also learning how to carry his brush every moment. Okay? And also, I have a particular textbook wrote by a famous calligrapher. So, listening to his rhythm, and also reading and understanding. And with my whole six consciousnesses, anywhere every day I practice. So he said, you should learn anyway calligraphy with, under the guidance of a teacher, okay, first. Anyway, you should learn. Guidance of teacher and guidance of a book, anyway. Good example. This is the first stage. And then the teacher says, if you master this textbook through and through, or if you master a certain type of calligraphy given by, shown by a certain teacher, next, you should learn a completely different type of calligraphy. At that time, you can really be free from a certain type of calligraphy, what you have learned under a certain teacher. Then you can be free from this, and then you can learn. How can you be free from this first? First learning calligraphy. You have to learn, anyway, you have to break this wall, anyway. Teacher says, anyway, you should break the first wall, which you have learned, because if you learn something, you really stuck in there. So I am calligrapher, great calligrapher. So you have to break it. How to break? So you should learn a completely different type of calligraphy. So, I study anyway, study. And then he said, if you study complete different type of calligraphy, and then next, you should return once more again to the beginning. And then at that time, you can first type of calligraphy, what you have learned, very naturally coming up, just like a spring water. So, this is a truth, again, real going beyond, okay? This is final law. So first, you have to hear, always, you have to hear with your consciousness. And then next, you should be free from it. For this, according to calligraphy, you should learn completely different type of calligraphy. Then you can break, first of all, what you have acquired. And then, very naturally, first one comes up very naturally. Without being stuck in first and second. First type of calligraphy or second type of calligraphy, you can go beyond. This is interesting. This is a way of teaching always in Japan. Okay? Whatever you learn, calligraphy, and also architect, carpenter, or storyteller, whatever you do. Okay. Anyway, teacher always give like this. This is very interesting. Way of education. Because otherwise you cannot help people. So you must be really free from the first wall and the second wall you have acquired anyway. So that's when a monk came forward and asked, what is the real going beyond? In other words, what is the real calligraphy which is going up very naturally, natural as you can, without being carried away by first wall, first type of calligraphy, or second type of calligraphy? Anyway, what is this? How we can learn? So Shan said that knowing how to beat the drum. Well, this is pretty interesting, the answer. If you want to really learn the third stage, you say always, let's go through the first and second, and then you can go beyond first and second. But this is also pretty good. But he doesn't say so. Anyway, immediately he say, I know how to beat the drum is everyday life. So if you want to be a storyteller in Japan under the guidance of teacher, she says, if you ask a teacher, how do we become great storytellers? Just like you, huh? Probably he would tell you, please get up in the morning when time comes to get up and clean the house and make a breakfast and serve the teacher. Anyway, and have a breakfast. After breakfast, wash your bowl. Anyway, those stuff, he says. But we don't understand this point because it's just like a usual life. So from where? From through this daily life, how can we learn, the master of the storytellers? pretty hard. But this is pretty good point, because human beings are really greedy. So if you become greedy, it's pretty hard to learn something real. You can learn something conceptual or philosophical or psychological, you can learn. But it's very difficult to learn something real, penetrating your life, penetrating the other's life, and share your life with people, helping. It's pretty hard. So that's why, anyway, if you want to learn the master of the storytellers, why don't you take your tape course with your comparison? Anyway, take care of the tape quarter as well as your life. This is the first step. That's why he said, I know how to beat the drum. So, because everything is, your life is really related, interconnected with all sentient beings. So even though you go to school and you can learn something step by step, but it doesn't work in your daily life, because you can learn something intellectually, so your head becomes big, but your life doesn't work. So mastering something is not to stuff up knowledge, stuff up knowledge into your head. Anyway, to master something is to share your life with the people anyway, through everyday life. But it is very slow going story. You cannot stand up, you cannot be patient, because people really want to rush into the goal and then get the richness and happiness and success and etc. So, very greedy. So, this answer probably made this month disappointed. Because Hoshan said, I know how to beat the drum. So again he asked, what is the real truth? Means almost the same questions as the first questions. First question says, what is the real going beyond? And the second question is, what is the real truth? Almost the double questions. But anyway, he didn't understand, so that's why secondly he asked again, what is the truth? Shan said, same things. I know how to beat the drum. So this is the truth. And again he asked, mind is Buddha. I am not asking about this. What is not mind and not Buddha? At those days, the almost 8th century, when the Basho Zen Master lived, Basho Zen Master emphasizes his teaching based on mind is Buddha. Buddha is mind. We say Sokshin Sokbutsu, Sokshin Zebutsu. Sokshin means, Sok means identity, Sin means mind, Zeb means this or the, that. Butsu means Buddha. So Buddha is exactly identical with the mind. But just like the Heart Sutra, we say form is emptiness, emptiness is form. We use is. But anyway, mind is Buddha. So this is a big corn of those days. And in every monastery, monks really research about this. So one day a monk asked the Basho Zen Master, why do you teach why do you teach mind is Buddha? Then Vasudeva Master says, because of stopping a baby from crying. Because it means every Buddha is separate from the mind, your mind, your life. At that time, no matter how long you try to get, you never get it. Because it's already something separate from you. Something separate from you is never get. Never get. So always you can get you something within you, that's why you can get it. Okay? You can get it. For instance, microphone. You say microphone. I can get a microphone because even though a microphone is separated from you. And then you say, I can get the microphone separated from me, but it's not true. Microphone is already, you have it before you get it. Because microphone, if you see the microphone immediately reflected in your mirror, so-called your sense organ. Okay? Sense organ and object. Simultaneously it's reflected. And then the consciousness, the function of the consciousness join them. Sense organs, sense object. And then sense six consciousness anyway think and judge. Oh, this is microphone. And then we say, oh yes, this is microphone. So, how do you understand the microphone? So, you already have a microphone in you. So, you can get the microphone. But get the microphone, this microphone is not real microphone, because microphone is, you get the microphone, reflected in your mirror. That's why sooner or later, it's separate from you. It doesn't stay with you for long. Because, and then the next moment you want to keep it because you already have it. So that microphone you have is already image of a microphone. Real microphone is, doesn't care. Even though it's gone from you, microphone is microphone. So, we have. Something separate from you cannot be acquired by you. This is the Buddhist teaching anyway. So, that's why Vasudeva Master says, if Buddha or real spiritual life is something separate from you, at that time, no matter how long you try to get, you never get it. That's why you become just like a baby, so crying constantly. You want to get it, you want to get it. And then Basel Zen Master really expressed his compassion like a mother, because I want to stop babies crying. How does he stop a baby crying? Because mind is, Buddha is with you. So your mind is Buddha simultaneously. Then maybe you can stop baby crying. And then the monk asked, how is it when you have stopped the baby from crying,
In other words, after stopping the baby from crying, what he says, what is your teaching? And then Basel says, not mine, not Buddha, not Buddha, not mine, not Buddha. Because if a Buddha's and then Basel Zen Master said, your mind is Buddha simultaneously, so you really stuck in the mind. Or you stuck in the Buddha, so where is the Buddha? In my mind, where is my mind? Inside or outside, where is my Buddha? So you are looking for. And then if you can't find it, you start to cry again. So, if you can stop a baby crying, and then after that, what is your teaching? That teaching is not mine, not Buddha. Buddha is not something you try to find inside or outside or somewhere. Or mind is not something you can find inside or outside anyway. Mind or Buddha are that which, well, manifested under the certain conditioned elements. When the time is like conditions arranged, it comes up. So when you do gassho exactly in peace in heaven, this is a mind. Peaceful mind. That peaceful mind is called anyway Buddha. So next moment you say, what's that? Well, what is the peaceful mind? Next moment you are not peaceful. At that time it's not Buddha. It's unpeaceful, not peaceful mind. So finally you say, keep your mouth shut, shut up. Anyway, do gassho in peace, in harmony, right now, right here, according to the, anyway, patriarch's Buddhist positions, in front of the Buddha, anyway, then at that time, Buddha appears. Peaceful mind appears. So only when time is right, conditions are arranged, always mind there, Buddha there. But next moment, when you think, where is a mind? Mind is really vague, vast. Buddha is also vast. So you don't know. So, no mind. A kind of no mind. But no mind, yes it is. When the time is right, conditions are in, mind comes out. So mind is here, but mind is always with me? No, no mind. Not mine. Next moment, not mine, not Buddha. Then the monk still don't understand, so a monk asked the Basel Zen Master, he's not talking about anyway teaching philosophy. The mind is Buddha or Buddha is mind or not Buddhas. Anyway, okay? In other words, from first stage, mind is Buddha, it means anyway, go to school. Go to school and do your best and then you can learn something. And then if you do it, school is you. If you do it, anyway, philosophy is with you anyway. And then at that time, the second stage is, well, if you go to school, well, how much school gives me the knowledge? Well, after graduation from the university, how much did you get knowledge which is available or which is useful when you share your life with the people? So you don't know. Lots of knowledge you have accumulated, you have learned from school, are what? Nothing. So you have to become a beginner when you work with the people completely. So you have to start to learn something new. So very naturally, that is the second stage. Anyway, school is you. School is you. You are school. Anyway, go to school. And then, if you go finish school, how much do you learn? Where is the knowledge? You cannot stuck in your titles, PhD or bachelor's or master's. You can't be stuck in. Anyway, share your life with the people. Ha! No knowledge, no school, no you. Just jump into and share. And then, that is the first stage, okay? Remember this. And then the monk asks, how should I deal with a person going beyond first and second? Anyway, he want to know the person who, anyway, master completely teaching of the mind is Buddha, and also free from and not mind and not be and not Buddha. Okay, it's free from first and second anyway. He's not talking about teaching. Okay. He wants to know the reality. When he sees somebody who is completely free from first and second, how can I deal with this kind of person? The Bodhidharma and not Bodhidharma, Basu Zen Master says, not anything. Not anything means you have to just see him anyway. How do you see him? How do you see him when you have to do gassho? Just do gassho, and then that is you can see him. Why don't you beat the drum anyway? In proper way, that's enough. So anyway, that means first stage you can learn, second stage you can be free from, and then third stage you don't know what it is, because we deny the first stage and second stage. So what is the real truth? So finally you say, never mind, forget it, you know. Forget it. Well, do as you like, because mind is Buddha, but not mind, not Buddha. So how can I live? Why do as you like? Because no mind, no Buddha. Completely denies no mind, and no Buddha, and also completely denies mind and the Buddha. What's left? What's left? Completely something left. Only tables left. Other material things left. This karmic body is left. Instinct left. Your knowledge, your body is left anyway. Because spiritual aspect of your life is completely denied. Mind, or Buddha, or not mind and not Buddha anyway. If so, how do we live? Nothing there. You can really attach to nothing. So if there is nothing to attach, why don't you live as you like? So that is a point. Most of Zen students misunderstand this point. So then I will let you be free, so do as you like. But this is a little bit careful, because in Buddhism, negation implies state of freedom, of human life. So your body and your mind must be free in every aspect of your life. If so, if you do as you like, according to your desires, etc., at that time you are now free anyway. So very naturally you are stuck in something. So very naturally this freedom, real freedom, must be actualized in everyday life, in every aspect of your life, getting in the morning and having a breakfast. In the breakfast, the freedom must be manifested there. When you do the show, anyway, freedom must be actualized in the realm of the show. So that is a freedom. So using your consciousness, and then you shouldn't be stuck in your consciousness, because this is a freedom. So basic nature of your life is always using your consciousness, but you cannot stay with the consciousness, what you have used, because this is a real state of your human existence. So go there, and then next, you become complete freedom. So next moment, you can go anyplace. If you like, you can stay. If you don't like, you can go anyplace. So this is in terms of the truth, in terms of change or impermanence. You can use the consciousness, but you cannot stay with it. So just use the consciousness, then let it go. But on the other hand, in terms of human consciousness, there is a very stinkiness there. So you must be a little bit careful anyway. So at that time they use the consciousness and then participate in the microphone, but at that time, in terms of human consciousness, you shouldn't create some gap between the microphone and you. In other words, double mind. You cannot create a gap. So you really, anyway, you can't create a shadow of your mind. Anyway, you should deal with the microphone as well as your life. Exactly one. That is called sincerity, true heart. True heart is really human warmth, compassionate. True heart is really you can intimate with microphones, life of microphone. That means not leave a shadow of your consciousness. So use your consciousness, jump into your object, but anyway, you should deal with your microphone with a sincerity, true heart. So that's why you can't say, hey, now let's use this microphone as I like. No, you cannot do it. That's why Basel Zen Master says, not anything. How can I deal with microphone which is free from first, second stage anyway? Because this is enlightened being. If so, anyway, you cannot start in the microphone as a material. Or you cannot start in microphone as a spiritual entity. You must be free from it. Because you have to deal with it. So, you should use your spiritual thing, and nevertheless, in terms of Buddha's word, truth, anyway, in terms of truth, anyway, you must be clear, anyway. So, no, nothing to leave, no trace of your consciousness, perceptions. Next, in terms of human being, human desires, anyway, you should deal with microphone with a sincerity, true heart. No shadow of your consciousness. That's why the Basel Zen Master says nothing else. Not anything. How can we deal with person who is free from anything anyway? First stage, second stage, at that time, how can we deal with? Don't be stuck in a thing called this guy or that guy. Or he is that guy who is attained enlightenment. Or this guy who is not attained enlightenment. Don't be stuck in. Anyway, deal with. How can we deal? Well, you have to beat the drum. You have to beat the drum with the sincerity, true heart. Using your consciousness anyway. So that's why the monk asked, the mind is Buddha, I'm not asking about this, because this monk understand, anyway, mind is Buddha. So what is not mind and not Buddha? And then the Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. Not mind, if you see the person who is free from not mind, not Buddha, at that time, who is he? He's just a usual guy, anyway. Just a usual guy. But a usual guy, but he is not a usual guy. He's still an unusual guy. But appearing to his usual guy. So how do we know? How do we know he is not usual guy? That means, anyway, when he has to beat the drum, just to beat the drum. Our difference is, what would you say, degree? How much strong determination you have, intention you have, you know, that how much strongly you hit the drum with a sincerity, with a true heart. How do you use your sincerity? How do you use your true heart when you beat the drum? That's all. So through the hearing the sound of the drum, we can understand how much your practice is progressed. In the age monastery, we hit the gong. Each time we bow, full bows. One hit the gong and bow. But every time, but sound depends on the individual personalities. If you're really rough guys, even though you hit a soft tree, still sound is very rough. Even though sound is very soft, but still there is a kind of absence of mind. The scars of the mind. Scattering your mind. So it's very interesting practice for. That's why we bow every time we bow. Because once hit the drum, gone, and then bow at that time, you really, your body and your mind be exactly peaceful and harmonious, tuning in to the rhythm of the gong's life. And then next moment, you can really face directly life with gong, life of gong, anywhere right in front of you. And then hold, and then begin. You start to newly to hit gong with your wholeheartedness. So Zen Master, one day Zen Master, the called the monk who hit in the morning, who hit the gong. You see, he asked the attendants. So he said the monk's name. And then Zenji, Zen Master says, "Ah, I understand. I understand the sound of the gong this morning, because who heard? Because he knows his practice, his quality of his life. So through the sound of gong, you really understand how much your practice is progressed. And also this, freedom is not something you can get immediately, or you can get freedom by practicing for 1 year or 2 years. No. Life after life. Anyway, you have to practice. You know, most of you met Thich Nhat Hanh. Well, that's peace. Everyone feels exactly peace from him. Whoever you are, everyone felt, you know. Real peaceful guys. But that peace is not something you can get by practicing for a couple of years. No. And also one more practice is you should continue to practice not showing. Very quiet practice. So mindfulness, he mentioned about mindfulness. Mindfulness is not showing practice. When you walk on the street, just walk on the street with your breath, with your mind, with your rod, with your foot, and then finally you can become one with the universe, rhythm of the life. But this practice is not showy. You cannot say. You cannot show it to the people. That's why when you go to the bathroom, wash your face and gasho to basin, gasho to water. This practice is very calm practice, but it's really powerful. If you practice day by day like this, very naturally, that's freedom really come through. Flower of freedom blooms, just like a Thich Nhat Hanh. But if you are really greedy in the spiritual life, you cannot continue to practice like this. So that's why even though you practice spiritual life, very naturally you become a greedy. If you become a greedy, you want to follow what teaching tracks, you know, seminars and training periods, and then if you want to be a good student, you should attend the training period. You should take this class or that class. If you don't, you are not a good student. Just like this. That is really greedy. You cannot be a really peaceful person, or you cannot really share your life with all sentient beings anyway. How much does this Thich Nhat Hanh teaches people share how much he influences his life to all sentient beings? He doesn't say anything. But his influence is really enormous, vast. Wherever he may go, just standing, that's really great, helpful for everyone. Don't you think so? Don't you feel in that way? You cannot forget him. Always in everybody's heart, Thich Nhat Hanh is there. That's practice, that's freedom or peace or harmony. It's not something you can get immediately or for a couple of years practice. No, you cannot do it. So that's why Bodhisattva walk in the midst of from life after life and forever anyway. So very naturally, what is the not mind, not Buddha, that is just like a Bodhisattva who is free from concept of not mind, not Buddha. What is it? He knows how to beat the drum. That is a Thich Nhat Hanh. He knows how to walk on the street with all sentient beings. We say always, let's walk on the street with all sentient beings. We don't walk in that way. We always walk alone. We always walk alone. It's better. It's a little bit better. But most of people walk on the street with anger, hatred, agonies. But whatever happens in your life, anyway, when you walk on the street, let's walk on the street with all sentient beings. How can you practice this? This is not teaching. This is something you have to do it every day. We during this training, I said, when you get up in the morning, let's chant the verse. I am getting up in the morning now with all sentient beings, and then realize everything without throwing away anything at all. Anyway, get up in the morning, and then sit down on your bed. Then do a show and chant a short verse. You don't think this is the important practice. But this is really big, great practice for us. If you can do every day, after life, you can do it. If you do it, this is really bodhisattva. So, Bodhisattva knows how to beat the drum. Bodhisattva knows how to get up in the morning with all sentient beings. Bodhisattva knows how to wash his face with all sentient beings. Again, he asked, when the transcendent man comes, how do you receive him? Shan said, knowing how to beat the drum. This is really true. How do we know we are Bodhisattva? Anyway, we should know how to wash your face, how to get up in the morning, how to hit the bell. This is a very, you believe this is a little small practice, you know. But I don't think this is small. Trifle. It is huge practice.
what we should contemplate this koan again and again in your whole life. That's why everyday life, daily routine is very important for us. My teacher taught me anyway, very simple teaching, when the people get up in the morning, please get up in the morning. When the people have a breakfast, please have a breakfast together. And then after that, if you don't feel good, go to sleep. This is very simple suggestions, but it's really important practice for us. Because we missed this important practice. That's why in the Zen monastery, every day is very important for us. Walking, hitting, drum and chanting, reading book, anywhere we have to do with our sincerity to our